Hi, everybody. Oh, there we are. Good morning, everyone. I'm going to start with prayer because I want it to be his word. So, Lord God, I thank you so much for your presence. I thank you, Father, for your love. I thank you, Father, that you have a word for your people. I thank you, Father, that I know your Holy Spirit and that your Holy Spirit's going to speak through me, God. May it be your words, not mine. Open their hearts, touch their hearts, and lead me, Father. And I thank you for this, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hi, everybody. So I'm just going to share. I'm so excited. I'm just going to share some revelation the Lord gave me when I was just reading personally on my own time in John. And I'm just going to be speaking about the power of Jesus to transform situations that seem impossible and not enough into situations that become that of possible and overflow and more than enough. So we're going to be reading in John chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. So if you get open to that. And it's the story of how Jesus feeds the 5,000. And it's something that we all know this story, but he gave me fresh revelation. So I'm just going to share the revelation through the verses that he gave me. So we're going to get started. So John 6, verse 1. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up to the mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. So I want to stop here and reread that. He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. So when there are situations that look like, what are we going to do? Jesus already has in mind what he's going to do. He already has a plan. And this was actually before, this doesn't talk about Philip seeing it yet. It's before even Philip saw the situation or saw the need. Jesus already knew before the need was even there. He already knew. So he already knows your need before it's even there, before you even see it. So praise God. So verse 7, Philip answered him, "It would take more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." So Philip's looking at the natural. He just sees what he sees. But Jesus already has a plan. Verse 8, another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" So I want to take a moment to notice the boy's willingness and faithfulness. He didn't have a lot. It says small. 5 small barley loaves, 2 small fish. But he gave what he had. So even if it doesn't look like you have enough to give, you have enough to give. And God's going to turn what's small and watch what he does. So verse 10, Jesus said, hallelujah, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. It just says men. 5,000 men were there. Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. As much as they wanted. When they all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. So we have this situation where there's a huge need and there's not enough. There's literally 5 loaves and 2 fish. This boy is like, "Here, take all that I have." And the difference is that he had faith. He was willing to give what he had, even if it didn't seem like a lot. And he gave, and Jesus showed up with his plan and that power. And that power shows that he is not just a God of provision, because he could have just gave them all, "Okay, here's enough." No, it says they ate until they were full. They had all that they wanted, and then there were still leftovers. So we don't just serve a God of provision, but of overflow. He doesn't just want to meet your needs, but also your desires. And I don't believe that just in finances, but in your life. If you just give your finances, he's going to give you overflow. Not only are your needs met, but there's overflow. If you give your life, not only are your needs met, but there's needs met, but there's overflow in every aspect. And that's also seen in other parts of Scripture too. That Ephesians 3:20, I'm just going to read it. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. So he doesn't just do what we saw. We saw Philip, he was like, I don't know what we're going to do. But Jesus can do exceedingly above all that we ask or think. In Malachi 3:10, it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you so great a blessing that there is no more room to receive that. We saw that here. There was no more room to receive it. They were full and the baskets were full. And I believe that same for you as well. Because these promises aren't just in this book. It's also for you as well. Hallelujah. Whew. It also says that we lack no good thing. So where Philip saw the lack, well, he was walking by sight. But 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we walk by faith, not by sight. And Psalms 34:10 says the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord will lack no good thing. So I just want to share my testimony, because this has been true in my life multiple times, but especially now, because the Lord told me to quit my job. Good paying, I mean, not the best paying job, but good paying job. It was a significant deficit when I quit, but God, we had a significant negative in our budget, like a significant negative in our budget. And with the help of our pastor, Lacey, we organized things and the negative went down. But we were like, Lord, you're going to have to provide, because I gave him all I had. I gave him my 5 loaves, if you will. I gave him all I had. I gave him my time. I gave him my job. We've been faithful to tithe and give offerings. I said, Lord, you're going to have to provide. You're going to have to provide. And that negative, we're in the positive, people. And I don't have like a job. The Lord has just been making a way. We're in the positive, and that's not even including 2 new jobs that just came our way. We're going to be like big in the positive. So I just thank God. So if there's a time where it seems like there's not enough, or you feel like you don't have enough to give, what if that boy didn't give what he had? What if that boy said, well, it's just not enough? No, he gave in faith, believing that God was going to make things happen. And he will not only provide your needs, but he will maximize it and give you overflow in Jesus' name. So I encourage you to give what you have, not just your money, but your time, your heart, and your life, and watch what the Lord does. Watch what the Lord does. Usher, serve your people. Your seed's not too small. Your need's not too big. Father, I thank you that every need is met in Jesus' name. I thank you that you are the God of multiplication, that we have no lack in Jesus' name. I thank you that you do not only provide for our needs, but for overflow. That you will open up the windows of heaven and see that you will not pour out such a blessing that there is no room to receive it. So I thank you, Father God, for provision. I thank you for overflow. I thank you for every need met and then some. I thank you that we will be so full that we can just pour out onto others. I thank you for businesses. I thank you for homes. I thank you for buildings. In Jesus' name, I thank you for land. I thank you, Father God, that what we give, you're going to multiply it, and it will not be in void in Jesus' name. And I pray, Father God, that you will pour out such a blessing on your people like you've promised. And I thank you that you will, Lord. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Woo. Hallelujah. Amen. Is that the best hand clap you can do? My goodness, how good is God? I mean, I'm like, Lord, have mercy. What the preaching, the teaching, the faith that was brought forth. Awesome. Some of you don't maybe look at certain things, but as a pastor, I look at a lot of different things. And I see the growth. I see the fire. I see the boldness on people, and I see the potential. And it's like, it makes me just want to sit there, and I'm listening to the testimonies, and I'm like, just speechless. Just totally in awe of God. Amen. And this scripture came to me. Thanks for listening online. I'll get to you guys. I love you guys. But there's nothing like being in the house. There is nothing like being in the house of the Lord and then in the presence of God to hear testimonies, to fellowship. So I'm believing for you guys listening online that you're going to be in fellowship in a greater way. Amen. Amen. I'm believing that for you. Glory to God. I know there's shut-ins. I know there's people that are listening all around the world. But the Lord is doing great and mighty things. And I'm believing that there will be a church near you that has the fire of God, that preaches the word of God, that's going to give you what you need with fellowship and friendship. Amen. Proverbs 10, verse 22, this came to me. The blessing of the Lord maketh one rich and adds no sorrow with it. Amen. No sorrow with the blessing of God. So if you get blessed and it brings sorrow to you, it's not of God. It's not of God. Amen. Because I think about the loaves and the fishes, and I think that boy had enough in his basket to feed 5,000, and it actually produced more than what the 5,000 needed. So when you talk about, oh, I need provision for my bill or my bills. Oh, I have $1,000 worth of bills this month. Oh, I'm believing God for $1,000. You actually have in your hand the ability to pay 5,000 people's bills. You're not looking at the scripture the way I'm looking at it. You understand what I'm saying? He had his own lunch. And that's all he had was his own lunch. The provision for himself. But the potential, when God is on it, gives you the provision to feed 5,000 and have extra left over. Do you see what I'm saying here? You in your hand and in by faith have the ability to minister to 5,000 people. Son in the back, what the Lord spoke to you is in your heart and in your mouth. He knows what I'm talking about. Some of you have shared what the Lord has spoken to you this year to do. Leaving job, ministry, the potential's already. It's not, you don't have to go chase it. The kingdom is in you. The ability to bring abundance and overflow is already in you. Christ in you. Really, think about it. The ability for you to live eternal, everlasting life as a child of God, it's already in you. You don't have to bring it up. You don't have to try to stir something up or do some formula to get. It's there. The potential for overflow in every area is already in you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. This is like a message on overflow. Amen. It's in there. It is in there. We saw it with the testimonies. We heard it with the testimonies. Just get ready. Get ready. We're seeing people saved doing chaplain at the hospital. We're seeing them saved. When you look at 40 people, and we've gotten over 400 people saved this year, what percentage is that? That's overflow. Yes. Think about that. That's overflow. Do not look at the situation to dictate the overflow. Yes. Do not look at it. Think about this. Think about what's in the ground. Think about all the water and the aquifers and the potential. But when you tap into it, you have the ability to not only drink yourself. You have the ability to water communities. To water your neighbor's field. The potential is there. Think about that. Electricity has always been here, but the ones that tapped into it are the ones that are reaping the benefit from it. Think about this truth, church. There is great potential living on the inside of you. Each and every one of you has wonderful, phenomenal, mountain-moving faith. The ability to move mountains is in the inside of you. And it's not David Patterson, it's Jesus Christ. It's the power of God in me. Hallelujah. There is an atmosphere that you're going to leave here and you're going to be walking and leaping and praising God. Because your faith is like, I got it. I got what he's saying. I got the overflow in me. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. The gates of hell are not going to prevail against me. There's no debt. There's no bill. There's no sickness. There's no disease. There's no name above the name of Jesus, and it lives in me. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus, you got to be able to hear this. That's the title of my message today, is the right voice. You got to be able to hear the right voice to know what's on the inside of you. The potential that's on the inside of you. Because what you're listening to and what you're hearing and what you're seeing and what you're thinking on is dictating the potential of the overflow coming out of you. You hear what I'm saying? Your overflow is based off of your faith and who your faith is in and what you're listening to. I guarantee I can talk to somebody in about 30 seconds. I can find out whether they're believing in overflow or whether they're in a spirit of fear. Just like that, by the words they say. Amen. And the words they say are what's the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. So what they're putting in is what they're releasing, and they're prophesying exactly what they're releasing. Amen. Self-fulfilled prophecy, life and death is in the power of the tongue. Amen. And those that choose, I'm telling you, you can have it. You already got it. You already have it. Hallelujah. The right voice. Amen. Everybody say, I want to hear the right voice. And the right voice is God's voice. Amen. Amen. You must hear. The most important thing I found out in life, in marriage, in ministry, in family, in business, everything is what am I listening to? What voice am I listening to? It changes everything. What you communicate with, it changes everything. The ability for you to be here today, something spoke to you. Either God spoke through someone to you, or the Lord spoke directly to you. There's a reason why you're here. It just doesn't happen. Life does not just happen. Somebody, you heard a voice on the inside and you made a decision that I need to be here today. And God uses people. God may use creation itself to reveal himself to you. Maybe a vision, maybe a dream. These are all ways that the Lord speaks to you. Amen. Amen. Even the service, even right now, I'm able to do what God's called me to do, to minister to God's people as a pastor, but yet I'm still listening to the voice of God at the same time. You need to understand this, that we must be listening to God's voice 24/7. When we're sleeping, God's still speaking. Amen. Whether our intellect or whether our mind understands what's going on, amen, doesn't matter. You're sleeping. I mean, you're out cold sleeping. What do they call that sleep that you're supposed to get? REM sleep, where you're totally don't know what's happening. That's the greatest time the Lord speaks to you. Because nothing's blocking. That's what I want you to get out of today. You may have never heard the voice of God. You're going to hear the voice of God today. You're going to hear the voice of God because I'm going to give you keys to hear the voice of God. And you're going to know it's God. You're going to walk in it. And it's going to become more and more clear to you each and every day. Because the question is not, is God speaking? That's really irrelevant because God's word already spoke to us. And he's speaking by his spirit all the time. God's speaking. So what's the issue? We got to be listening. We got to hear the voice of God. It's that important. You must hear the voice of God. You must. You must be able to hear the voice of God. And you say, well, I don't know if this is my mind. I don't know if this is my... You will be able to hear the voice of God. The reason you are here is you heard the voice of God. You just may not have known it. Many times you hear the voice of God. God speaks to his people. God speaks to his people. Sometimes we're not sure if it's God or not, but I'm going to tell you, God's word explains itself in such a way that you will be able to discern what you're listening to, what you're hearing, whether it's of God or not. And you must know, I'm going to go through many different things here this morning because this is a basic thing. Once you hear the voice of God and you know it's God, you cling to that. And you don't let any other voices come in your way. And the world may tell you other things, and people may say other things, and ministers may say things, but number one, you need to hear the voice of God. It doesn't matter how much you go to church, it doesn't matter how much you pray, it doesn't matter how much you prophesy or wear a tie. None of that matters if you cannot hear the voice of God. Because when you hear the voice of God, you have a relationship with him. And that's the key. It's not a religion. It's not a formula. It's not a 10-step program. It's not Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm telling you, it's not a program. It is God speaking to your heart and you hearing what he's saying. And when you can do that, you can go 100 miles an hour with God. And you'll bypass people that have been in church for 50 years when you hear the voice of God. One word of God can change your life forever. Forever. When the Lord said, leave the farm, he only had to say it one time. One time it spoke to my spirit and I was like, oh my golly. If I do not do this, it's not even worth living. That's how strong it was. It wasn't an audible voice. It was an inner witness. It was a still small voice on the inside. Leave the farm. And I'm like, what was that? You may be at a place where the Lord's speaking to you right now. Even this day, through someone's testimony, God used a mouthpiece up here to share his testimony. And it's speaking to your spirit. Like, I can do that. I could be at the fair and I could talk to someone. I could pray with someone. And it's encouraging you. That's God speaking to you. The atmosphere in this building here this morning, God's speaking loud and clear. And he's saying different things to different people. And you're like, well, I don't hear him. It's not an audible. It's an inner. The Spirit of the Lord is traveling around, speaking to my wife, speaking to each and every one of you. The Lord's going to be speaking to you. Why do we come to church? To hear the voice of God. To interact with God. To receive from the Lord. And to share the love of God with each other in fellowship. What's fellowship? Fellowship is not meeting your friend at dinner and not saying a word. That's not fellowship. That's not marriage either. All right? You got to speak to each other. Right? All right. I'm glad we got that straight. Amen. You got to talk. That's what builds relationship. Right voice. We must hear the right voice. See, people yearn for this. Why? Because God's implanted it in you. He created you to hear his voice. I'm just going to explain to you today and minister to you today all the junk that's out there that's plugging up your ears. You want to hear the number one reason why you can't hear from God? Number one reason, that's Dave Patterson's terminology. Number one reason, too much noise to hear the voice of God. Too much noise. If the Lord says, some of you may have not heard that. Sometimes the Lord has to knock that loud for you to hear. Why? There's other noises around. There's other things going on. Distractions. John 10:27. I don't want to get ahead of myself. There's so much in this. Because this is one of the things that people struggle with the greatest as a child of God. Is hearing God's voice. being led by the Spirit and hearing the voice of God. But I'm telling you, not at New Freedom. If the Lord sets you free, you're going to be able to hear His voice. Amen. Amen. If you are free, what does that do? That removes the world so the kingdom of God can speak directly to your heart. Every single person here that's born again and saved, every single person online is born again and saved. Guess what? You have a spiritual ear to hear because you already heard and received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Each and every one of you that knows Jesus has already heard from God. You were already dead and you're like, oh, well, I have a hard time here. I'm telling you, things got in the way. Maybe you lost your first love. Maybe you backed away from God. Maybe you got too busy. Maybe it's the arm of your flesh trying to figure out the things of God. Maybe there's sin in your life. That's another big one. You know what sin does? Sin literally puts earmuffs on your heart. Earplugs. When you're living in sin, you're pretty much doing this to your heart. You're plugging your spiritual receptor to hear from God. And God doesn't put earplugs on you. Where does sin come from? Us missing the mark. Us disobedient to God. Us doing something or saying something we shouldn't say. I'm getting ahead of myself. John 10:27. Please go there. So we're designed to hear the voice of God. We are designed that way. We're created spirit beings to hear from His Spirit. Hallelujah. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. There's a lot in that scripture, even though it's short. My sheep, my children, hear my voice. When you were a child, you know when your parents spoke to you. And you knew the tone of how they spoke to you. You knew if the middle name came out, there was something a little more serious involved. Come on. We're on the Eastern Shore. Middle names come out. Right? Anyway, I won't go any farther than that, but amen. My sheep hear my voice. As a child of God, you can hear the voice of God. There's your scripture. My sheep, my children, hear my voice. You can hear the voice of God. Don't let anybody lie to you and say, I can't hear from you. Yes! Change your confession. Yes, Lord, I will hear your voice. Yes, Lord, I can hear from God. Hallelujah. You need to change your confession. If you've never heard the voice of God and have it on the inside of you, change your confession. Thank you, Lord. I hear your voice. Thank you, Lord. You're with me all the days of my life. Walking with me. Talking with me. Amen. Adam and Eve disobeyed, but they still could hear the voice of God. They ran from God. They hid. God went out into the garden. Where are you? They can still hear. You're not too far away to hear from God. He'll draw you right back in. And that as you're drawn in and you get close to Him, He doesn't have to yell. He doesn't have to shout. If I'm right here talking to my wife, hey dear, how are you doing today? Beautiful. I don't have to talk like that. Sorry. I should have done it the other way. I don't have to talk because I'm close. The closer you are to God, the more sensitive you can hear. The more sensitive you can hear. Think about that. Hey, Johnny, come in from the backyard. If Johnny was at the table, hi, Johnny, how are you today? See the difference? It works like that in the spirit realm. When you are close to God, it's sensitive. It's sensitive. It's clear. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. When you hear God for the first time, you will follow Him. And you'll want to hear from Him more often. Because you're following Him. And the more you follow Him, the more you want to hear from Him. Every day I want to hear from the Lord. Every day I want to communicate with God. Lord, What do you have for me today? Who do you have for me today? Lord, thank you for what you're doing today. We're having conversation. You want to know another reason why people can't hear from God? Because they never stop talking. If I constantly talk to my wife, I'd never hear what she has to say to me. If I'm talking all the time. You can't hear when you're talking. And you definitely can't understand what the other person is saying when you're talking. A lot of people put their head down like, I know he's talking about somebody else. 1, 2, 3, eyes up here. Now, amen. If we talk too much, you can't hear. A conversation is two ways. The Bible says, be quick to listen, slow to speak. He gave you two ears and one mouth. That means if you think about it, and I look at these types of things. As a pastor, I think about this stuff. Why do we have one mouth and why do we have two ears? Because he could have put an ear right in our forehead and not on both sides. You know, I think about this kind of stuff. Anybody think about this stuff? No, nobody else does. Yeah, the pastor's weird. That's all right. But when I think about these things, I think to myself, I should be listening twice as much as I'm speaking. I should be listening twice as much as I should be speaking. Quick to listen, slow to speak. Why is that? Because if we're listening from God, we're getting exactly what the Lord is saying. If we're talking all the time, we're not getting what the Lord is saying. We're talking out of our flesh or out of our intellect. So often we talk too much and we don't give the Lord time to download and speak to us what we should be doing or what we should be saying. There's many times my wife speaks to me and I don't pray about it and I just talk back. Not talk back. I didn't mean it that way. I respond. You know, we have conversation. But if I were to take time, my response probably would be different. And there's many times she doesn't even need me to talk back. She just needs me to listen. Not a show of hands. But all you men out there have probably heard as a husband, I don't need you to fix it. I just need you to listen to what I have to say. And the women said amen. Right? But we still have a hard time listening. If we can grasp it in the natural, I'm telling, with God, it'll be that quick. It'll be quick. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Let's go up to verse 1. John 10, verse 1. Jesus, the true shepherd. It says, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter this sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, leads them out. Think about that. The good shepherd, the sheep hear his voice. He calls to them and leads them. What's leading you? What voices are you listening to that are guiding your daily activity? Maybe I'm getting a little too deep for you, but it's very simple at the same time. What are you listening to? What voices are speaking to you on a daily basis? Verse 3 again. To him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. Interesting. Very interesting. You don't have to see Jesus physically to be led by Jesus. All you need to do is hear his voice. And you know where to go, and you know where not to go. People always ask, you know, they're praying for protection. I'm telling you, you hear the voice of God, it'll change your prayer life. You can talk to God where you don't feel like you have to be on your knees for 15 hours a day praying. The Bible says pray without ceasing. What does that mean? That doesn't mean on your face. That just means your heart's submitted to God and you're communicating and you're listening. Lord, what do you have for me today? Let me go do my job. I'm going to pray in the Spirit and I'm going to keep doing my job. Right now, as I'm ministering, my spirit is listening to the Holy Spirit. Am I going there? Where's the anointing at? Where's the presence of God at? Am I saying what I need to say? Do I need to hang on this a little longer? Do I need to promote this a little more? What are the people pulling on? And I don't base it off what you look like. I base it off what the Spirit's telling me to do. Amen. I need to hear from God because I know if I can hear from God, you're going to get exactly what you need. If I base it off of what I think, then nobody's going to get anything good except for what I think. And that doesn't mean anything, all right? We must hear from heaven. And you can hear from heaven in the midst of your daily life. Don't wait for Sunday morning to try to hear from God. God is with you. He's for you. He walks with you. He talks with you. He's in the cool of the day. He directs your steps. Think about that. If he directs your steps, every step you should be able to hear from God. Where to plant your foot. My steps are ordered by the Lord. How are they ordered by the Lord? You got to hear from God. You got to know where to step. You could be walking like this and the Lord's like, don't go over there. I'm protecting you. Go this way instead. How many of you have been in something? Maybe go buy a car and you're like, something doesn't feel right. That's the Lord speaking to you. That's the Lord speaking to you from getting signing something that you shouldn't be signing. Come on. The Lord is with you every day. Oh, I should go this way. Oh, I need to talk to this person. Oh, maybe I shouldn't talk to this person. That's all the Lord's leading. That's all the Lord's speaking to your heart. It's really, the bottom line is it's the peace of God. That's how the Lord speaks to his church and believers. Majority of the time is peace. An inner witness. Yes, do this. Or no, don't do this. Or hold on. Just give a little bit of time. I say it all the time. The Spirit of God is like a traffic light. Red, yellow, and green. The Lord will stop. Don't do that. Yellow, proceed with caution. Or green, put the pedal to the metal and go right after it. When it comes to soul winning, it's always green. It's always green. Amen. The Lord is not saying, wait. Go spread the gospel. Go into all the world. Last time I said, when it says go, there's no stop. So you never have to ask God, should I be a soul winner? Should I share the gospel? Yes. You don't have to hear from God. He already spoke it in his word. Most people are looking to hear from God on situations that the Lord already spoke. You're trying to pray a prayer of trying to get some direction, and the Lord already wrote it in Scripture. You hear what I'm saying? Amen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. To hear, something's got to be speaking. This is a two-way conversation. You can say amen. It's okay. We say amen at church. Amen. So be it, right? If faith comes by hearing and you're believing to increase in faith, you got to get your spiritual ears on. And you got to allow the word of God to speak into your spirit. And when it speaks into your spirit, faith grabs a hold of it, and then you start walking in what the word says. Amen. That is the gospel 101, and many people struggle with it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it's the word of God being spoken, even right now, that's going by your head, bypassing your head, speaking to your spirit, and you're like, I'm getting it, Pastor. I'm getting the hold. I'm going to hear the voice of God today. I'm hearing from God. I feel God's peace right in the midst of what we're doing. I feel it. I'm not ministering that. I'm saying I, myself. Me and the Lord are having a moment. He's pleased. Keep going. That's what he's, keep going. Keep ministering my word. The people are receiving. As I speak, it's going in. It's like the seed is just being sown right into the good ground. I see it. you're going to reap a harvest. I'm telling you. And the more you keep your spiritual ear on, the quicker faith can turn on and the quicker you can walk out the plan of God from just provision to overflow. Amen. Because you can listen and you can, and see, this comes against a lot of people's teaching that you got to go through some struggle. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I don't need to be sick to get faith. Faith doesn't come through sick. You can learn some things. You can have a testimony of what the Lord has done. I get that. But I rather learn by the word of God and walk from glory to glory, faith to faith, than I would go through something to try to get a hold of something. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. So faith comes by hearing. That's what we need to do. We need to be hearing the word. So if you're struggling with hearing the voice of God, a good way to hear from God is to read your Bible. Or put an audible Bible while you're driving down the road. Or put a podcast on. Or put good biblical praise or worship music on. The Lord will speak through his word. So anything that has the word has the life of God in it. Amen. So you want to hear from God right here. Right here. Put your eyes on it. Read the Bible. Speak it out. You'll be reading and all of a sudden revelation will just start coming to you. He'll start speaking to you. Wow. You read that scripture and you're just like, oh my, I never saw that before. What's that? That's the Lord speaking to you. That's the Lord speaking to you. When someone's struggling and you're walking down the road, the Lord will be like, you have what they need. Go talk to them. Go lay hands on them. Go pray with them. Help them out. Give them a hug. Amen. Slip them a $10 bill. Say, here, God bless you. Go get some, well, $10 doesn't do much. Give them 50 so they can get lunch. Amen. It's not a quarter and call someone who cares anymore. Doesn't work. Amen. 250 doesn't work. Give them 250. Amen. Show them how good God is. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. Verse 7. John 10, verse 7. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. There's no other door. Don't listen to any other voice. There's no other door. There is other doors, but you don't want to go knocking on them. Because I'm telling you, there's other spirits out there. There's familiar spirits. There's demonic spirits. There's a lot of doors. But there's only one you need to be knocking on. Most assuredly, these are the words of Jesus himself. Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. You have the ability to discern whether someone's of God, for God, and with God, or against God. You have discernment to know who you should be hanging around and who you should be listening to. If you have people that are speaking negative, anti-God, don't be knocking on their door all the time. Don't get counsel from people that are struggling. Get counsel from people that have the testimony of their struggle. Amen. They got the victory. They have the joy. They have the peace. They have the love. Get around people that love you. Not the two-faced people that'll talk about you, then stab you in the back. Oh, I love you. As soon as you turn. If you don't think there's people like that in the church, there is. You got to get around people that love you. Genuinely love you. Even if something happens, like you if I borrowed Joe's car, truck, and I accidentally ran it in the ditch, we'd still be friends. Right? Amen. We're not going to try. He's like, I lost my keys. But that a friend, there's no greater love, the Bible says, than to lay down a life for your brother. That's a friend. When someone gets in trouble, you help them out. You don't judge them. You love them. How powerful is that? How powerful? You will know your friends very quickly if they cut and run once it gets a little difficult. Verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. There you go. That's the first step to hearing from God. Enter the door of salvation. You will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Once you're born again, you don't have to worry about a desert place. Come on. You don't have to. Provision is there, in and out. Blessing going in, blessing going out. The ones that struggle with the blessing going in and going out are the ones that are listening to the wrong thing. Because the Word of God says it. Right there. Verse 9. If you're listening online, John 10, verse 9. If anyone enters by me, you have to enter the right door. If you're entering the wrong door, if you're listening to the wrong people, if you're hanging around the wrong places, you're not going to be blessed going in and out. It's not always greener on the other side, folks. You got to know where your pasture is. You got to know what you're feeding on and what you're listening to. Because that's what's going to bless. Here's a simple analogy. What you put in is what you're going to get out. I do not want to be those people that say, I'm going to eat McDonald's for 60 days and see how I am. It's just, I'm not going to be that type of person. All right? You've heard that online. It got quiet all of a sudden. People do these kinds of things. Not me. What you put in is what you get out. All right. You put Jesus in, you're going to get Jesus coming out of you. Amen. You put his voice in, you're going to speak Jesus. You take communion and you believe in those elements, the blood of Christ, and your sins are washed away. You walk in freedom. You know it. And God speaks to you. You're free. And you have joy of the Lord. And you can't get away from it. It becomes who you are. You are a joy-filled person because you have Jesus. You have a hope and a future. You know your salvation. It's not a question. And you know, you keep feeding on that voice of, I'm saved, I'm born again, I'm loved, I'm cherished, I'm in him. All is good. God loves me. If I slip, I repent. I'm sorry, Lord, I missed it. I spoke wrong. I did so. I repent. And all is well. All is well. The grace of God. Amen. It keeps me in the place of joy. It's unearned favor. I didn't do anything special to get here. All I did was say, yes, Lord, I hear your voice. Amen. Go to Bible school. Go to Bible school. Go to Pennsylvania. Go to Pennsylvania. Leave Pennsylvania. Start a church in my house. It's just doing what he says to do. So when you hear the voice of God, you will not judge others how good or bad they're doing. Because you're working on what you're hearing and listening to and walking out. Amen. You don't have to worry about anybody else. You just have to concern yourself with your relationship with him. Don't worry about your spouse. They're okay. You worry about yourself, he'll take care of it. If I can hear God's voice correctly and adhere to it and live by it, it's going to bless my wife. I'm telling you right now, you obey God, your marriage is going to be on fire. It's going to be good because God made her. Amen. God made me, and when I obey what he says, I'm going to fulfill exactly what she needs. Have I perfected that? No. Am I working on it? Yes, by faith. Amen. I'm just being honest with you. If I were to say our marriage was perfect, it'd be a lie, because I'm human. Amen. But with God's help, it's good. Amen, and it's getting better. Hallelujah. He will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. We always quote John 10:10, but we forget about the door in verse 8 and 9. When you stick with Jesus, you understand verse 10 very quickly. And when you walk with Jesus and you talk with Jesus, you see the enemy's ways. You see his deception. You see his tactics. You see how he's trying to steal, kill, and destroy marriages. He uses alcohol and drugs to just rip people apart. Suicide. All these things, the enemy is still killing and destroying. But when you enter the gate and you accept Jesus Christ, the old has passed away, behold, the new has come. Hallelujah. You walk in victory all the days of your life, and you don't allow the enemy to say one blessed thing against you or anything. You're like, nope, that's not my lot. That is not who I am. I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. I'm bought with the blood. I'm protected. I'm going to heaven. I got Jesus in my heart. And if people don't like it, they can go fly a kite. They got to go find Jesus themselves. Amen. Do not let someone's jealousy affect your hearing from God in your walk with the Lord. If you got the victory, walk in the victory. And if people don't like it or get offended by it, they need to receive what you have. I know it's sharp, but the Lord, the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. So the sharpest you ought to hear about is in the church. People want to give some dull message. I'm telling you, you try to cut some. I cut firewood because I have an outdoor wood stove. I learned very quickly a dull chainsaw gets you nowhere. I'm on the same chunk of wood for 15 minutes watching the smoke because it's getting hot because it's not doing nothing but producing heat. It's not cutting anything. But when I sharpen that chainsaw, I'm telling you what, it shaves and kicks it out the back, and it's like butter right through it. Amen. All of you farm people know what I'm talking about. But it doesn't. When you have a dull chain, if you have a dull gospel, I'm telling you, you feel like you're walking in mud. But when you get the truth and you get set free, you'll run with the fire of God, and ain't nobody going to stop you. Amen. And the joy will be all over you. Amen. Come on. Yeah, you know it. You know it. Amen. I'm not trying to stir something. I'm telling you, it's in you. You're sharp. You got what you, God has given you, all that you have need of. Hallelujah. The thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Very simple. If anything's trying to steal, kill, and destroy, it's the enemy. If anything's bringing you life and abundant life, it's God. Very easy. That's the gospel message. Amen. We can all go home. No, stay put for a little longer. I have come that they may have life and life more abundant. Amen. Everybody say abundance. Abundance. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. Jesus is good. When people talk about if Jesus isn't good or they blaspheme God, don't be around those people. Oh, well, that's my friend from third grade. I'm telling you, he or she is going to hold you back from all God has. I'm serious. Some of you don't want to hear that. You're like, I know who you're talking about. But the Lord's speaking to you right now. Even if it was fourth grade or second grade, he's still speaking to you. Amen. We all have people in our lives that are holding us back from potential. The enemy will use people to hold you back. Say, man, this is an interesting church service. You better believe it is. And next week will be more interesting. Because I'm giving you the exact tool you need to get the job done. To have the victory, to have the freedom, to walk, to hear the voice of God. Hallelujah. Let me get some points here across to you. Amen. Revelation 3:20. Revelation 3, verse 20. You say, I've never been to a church where they talked about Revelation. Well, you just found yourself one. Revelation 3:20. Says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Every single church in Revelation has that scripture in it. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. God's speaking. God is speaking to the church. Amen. I'm speaking to you, the church. He who has an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. God speaks by his Spirit. God speaks through his word. Amen. But verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Jesus is knocking. And if we look at this briefly here, when someone knocks on your door at home, whether you hear it or you don't, think about the reasons why you can't hear someone knock on the door. What are some reasons? You're not home. Nobody's home. You're not going to hear anybody knock because you're not there. All right? That doesn't mean they didn't knock. Just because you didn't hear God 10 years ago doesn't mean he wasn't knocking 10 years ago. The light wasn't on. Nobody was home. That's a reason why you can't hear the door knock. All right? That's one reason. The other one I said earlier, too busy to answer. Other noises, can't hear the knock. TV's too loud, radio's too loud. Earbuds are jammed in your ears. AirPods jammed in the kids' ears. They can't hear anything. Hey, Johnny, how you doing? They can't hear. Why? Because things are filled in their ears. You have to, this same exact thing that happened naturally that I'm talking about happens in the spirit. The things that plug your physical ears are plugging your spiritual ears. Too busy. Not enough time with God. Not quiet enough. Not priority. God's not important enough for me. I don't have a need. Everything's taken care of. So Jesus is knocking at the door to the rich young ruler. To the one that has everything. You need me. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But I got everything I need. I'm good. What good is it to win the whole world and lose your soul? You need to hear. You need to hear what the Spirit is saying. Outer circumstances take precedent over the door of your heart. The Lord doesn't knock with a hammer. Gentle knock. Joshua 1:8. The book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Everybody wants prosperity. Everybody wants good success. But the scripture tells us, the word of the Lord shall not depart out of your mouth. What does that mean? That means you should be speaking God's word. Meditate means to mutter God's word. When I'm up here, Lord, thank you. Thank you that you're giving me the next word. Thank you that you're giving me the next scripture. Amen. I used to not talk in front of people. Not even one person. Something has changed. Because I can talk in front of a lot of people for a long time. Amen. And I'm not going off of notes. What is that? Hearing from God. It's the anointing. It's the presence of God. Amen. I'm keeping your attention. Amen. What? I'm not. God is. Because he's speaking. He's speaking through me to you. By his word and by his spirit. Amen. But I'm muttering. Lord, you get a devotional. You get a scripture in the morning. By his stripes, I'm healed. Lord, thank you, I'm healed. Thank you, I'm healed. There's something pain in my... Lord, thank you that you're healing my leg. You're healing my knee. You're healing my back. Thank you, Lord. You're with me. You bore all stripes on your back for me. I'm the healed of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. And whatever you're going through, you need to hear the word of the Lord and get a scripture and start muttering it, meditating on it. If it's finances, my God shall supply all of my needs. Hallelujah. According to his riches and glory. My God has more than enough for me. I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. My bills are paid in Jesus' name. You just start, you say, how do you do that? You just got to spend time and hear from God. Get the word of the Lord and start pounding. My word is like a hammer that breaks the rock into pieces. Some of you feel like you got a boulder in your life. I mean big. And you're like, a hammer ain't going to do it. The power of God, dynamite. What does dynamite do to a boulder? YouTube it. When you leave here, YouTube mining and watch them string up dynamite and the whole mountain just comes down. That's the power of God. And that's in your mouth. And when you speak that, your faith gets a hold of it because you're hearing what you're saying. Amen. Hallelujah. The power of God's in me. I'm victorious. I'm an overcomer. Amen. Glory to God. You start speaking that, and then you hear someone say, well, I'm having a bad day. Maybe you are, but I'm not having a bad day. Not going to. Why? Because I'm speaking good. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Why can we not do that in the morning? Because we get on our phone and look at the news. We want to see what's on Instagram. We got something else occupying our time. We stay up so late watching a movie, we can't get up in the morning except for just to get our clothes on and go to work. Where's God? Where's hearing from God and all that? Because we're so busy doing, we can't just sit and be. Why do people get so mad about a long service? Because I got Sunday afternoon lunch with my pals. I got a football game to go to. It starts at 1 o'clock. What is vying for your time? What is vying for your time? Because what you put, you think the announcer is going to get you to heaven? You think the football player is going to pay your bills? What is vying for your time, church? This is really where the rubber meets the road in people's lives. Their thoughts and their processes and what they're taking in is filling the gap where God is meant to be. And then they turn around and they're like, I can't hear from God. God's not real. God's not speaking to me. He's speaking to you, church. He's speaking to every single one of you about your life, your future, vision, plans, purposes. All those things, the Lord is speaking to you. He loves you. To keep you protected, to keep you in a good place, to keep you healed. He's speaking those things. Jesus is at the door of your heart knocking. I love you, brother. I love you, child. I love you. This is what I have for you. I quoted this before, Psalms 37:23. The steps of a good man are ordered, established, fixed, or fastened by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. I'm telling you, when you hear from God, every step is God's step. Every step is God's step. And guess what? It's fixed. You don't have to step and then wonder if it's going to fall away. When the Lord says walk there, you walk there, and boom. It's solid. It's rock solid because Jesus rock. You're standing on the rock. My steps are ordered by the Lord. Say that. When you get up in the morning, say, Lord, thank you that you order my steps today. I'm not going to have any dead work. I'm not going to go do something I shouldn't do. I'm not going to listen to anything I should. Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for ordering my steps. Thank you that you care so much for me. You sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die. I'm going to hear your voice today. Amen. I'm going to hear your voice today. Tonight, I'm going to hear your voice. Thank you, Lord, that I can hear your voice. Amen. You got to confess these things. Amen. You got to speak them so your faith can grab a hold of it and say, yes, yes, I'm not condemned. God's not against me. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. Hallelujah. When your steps are ordered by the Lord, you do not have to worry about evil. You don't have to depart from evil, because evil cannot be a part of who you are, because your steps are ordered by the Lord. So often, as Christians, we're reactive instead of proactive. When you're proactive and spend time with God, you hear his voice and you do what he tells you to do. And you obey. And every day is a great day. Every day is a great day. You may have issues come up, but guess what? You realize that God's for you and not against you. And you say, Lord, you see my need. You see this issue. You see this person. You see this struggle. You know everything, Lord. Show me how to do it. Show me how to do it. I don't know what I'm doing. This is difficult. I've never been here before. No one in my family has ever been, that I know of, has been a pastor of a church. I'm the first one. So I don't have uncle, granddad, so-and-so to say, hey, what do you do in this one? What do? You seek the Lord. You get the voice of God. You say, well, I'm in a struggle that nobody else has ever been in. Guess what? The Lord knows. He was in all points tempted, the Bible says. He knows. He has the answer for you. Where do I go? Ephesians, let's end here. Ephesians 4:25. Are you getting anything out of this? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4, verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying. That's interesting. Why do you think Paul had to say put away lying? Because people lie. He's writing to the church. Oh, well, church people don't lie. Yeah, they do. He wouldn't have wrote it in there if it doesn't happen. Therefore, putting away lying. If you put something away, you got to tuck it away out of sight, out of mind. Get it away from you. Unseen. All right? Don't give some half lie. Put lying away. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. If you have a neighbor that you're disgruntled about, you need to start praying for him. Speak life into that relationship. For we were members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. It's okay to be angry, but do not sin. What would anger be? How would sin come from anger? Reacting and doing something in the flesh or using your mouth based off of what you're feeling or thinking. If you can contain it and not open your mouth, it's not sin. Once you open your mouth or you react to your anger, then you produce sin. So you can be angry. Somebody can do you wrong and you can be like, you know what? That really hurt me. And it can make you angry. It can frustrate you. But you don't retaliate. You give it to the Lord. Once that offense or once that word comes to you, just release it just right up there. And the Lord will speak directly to you on how to love that person. Don't hold on to it. Because you hold on to it, it'll fester and then you'll retaliate. Just as much as it's quick to listen and slow to speak, don't swing back. If somebody swings at you, what does the Bible say? Give them the other cheek. Ooh, yeah. Be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down on wrath, nor give place to the devil. So there's a place the devil wants to have in your life. And you got to make sure he can't have that place. And a lot of it is in the gates of our life, our eyes, our ears. Amen. What we see, what we hear. All right. Let him who stole steal no longer. When the enemy has place, he's stealing. When the enemy is speaking and you're listening, he's really stealing from you and you don't even know it. If you're entertaining sin, if you're entertaining negative words, he's stealing from you already. He's stealing from you already. Think about that. Think about it this way. If someone were to get cancer and they don't know they have cancer, that cancer is already stealing from them. Before they had the physical manifestation or the feeling. It's already started. That's the same thing that sin does. The enemy, when you allow the enemy, he starts stealing and killing and destroying you. The wages of sin is death. When sin has started, it's already doing a work. People wonder why. How did this get this way? It didn't happen overnight, folks. Something, the door was open some time ago, and it got to the point where it manifested. Nobody wants to talk about this. Nobody wants to be real about this. When things happen in someone's life, you reap what you sow. When things happen, something, the door got open, and we got to keep the door shut and only have it open to God. Only have it open to God. But guess what? God is so loving and gracious. We could have opened the door many, many times to bad things, and he can forgive us. And he loves us that much. He's like, come right back in. I love you so much. My son paid for all that. All your shortcomings, all your mistakes. Even if you were born again, if you repent, the Lord's like, as far as the east is from the west, out of here. You're forgiven. I love you. Come right back in. That's the voice of God. Abundant life. Let's try to get done here. Let him who stole steal no longer. You have to make a decision whether something's going to get stolen from you. Let him who stole steal no longer. You start confessing the word of God and you rebuke the enemy and he's not going to steal no more. Amen. But rather let him labor, working with his hands with what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. That's a big one. People get into gossip right there. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary for edification. Do not say anything about anybody that you can't willingly, lovingly speak to that person yourself. There's your judge. There's your judge. Right here, the Word of God. You don't need to talk about anybody else. Because what are you really doing? You're sowing seeds of discord. You're taking the place of God's voice by speaking to someone else in a negative way. Think about that. You're actually not only hurting yourself, you're limiting that person from hearing from God too, because you're sowing discord. Gossip is a bad place to be, and people think it's okay. I'm telling you. I'll let the Lord speak to you about it. I'm just giving you the word. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. If it does not impart favor to the hearer, don't say it. Don't say it. If it is not a blessing and edify, meaning builds the person up, if you're saying any word that's cutting someone, whether it's the person you're talking to or somebody else, you need not be saying it. And people wonder why they can't hear from God. It's because they're gossiping and they're talking about other people. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. I'm telling you right now, this will give you breakthrough where you can hear God's voice like that. But people don't want to talk about this because it's easy to gossip. It feels good in the natural to gossip. But it's directly affecting your spiritual ears to hear the word of the Lord. It may be affecting people listening here or online. Right now, the Lord's speaking to you by his word and by his spirit. Because he wants to speak good things to you. And he wants overflow in your life. And your gossip is keeping you from overflow. Let's get more joy. Verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. So what do you think grieves the Holy Spirit? Your gossip. Your negative words grieve the Holy Spirit. Who's the one that speaks to you? The Holy Spirit. So if you're grieving the Holy Spirit, that's why you can't hear from him. If I came to Joe and I got mad at Joe and I smacked Joe, do you think Joe's going to want to come talk to me all the time and hang out? No, probably not. Probably not. If you grieve the Holy Spirit, he's not going to be like, hit me one more time. No. You grieve him. You quench him from operating in your life. By speaking negative things. Lord, help me. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. When someone speaks to me in a negative way or says something negative about me, you know how I take that? I don't take it upon myself. My heart breaks for that person. It breaks for that person because of this scripture. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgive one another. Jesus on the cross says, forgive them. They know not what they do. You have a heart of love as a believer to forgive other people's words. But the ability to do that is hearing God's voice. That's why it's so important to hear from God. Forgive one another even as God in Christ forgave you. Thank you, Lord. Let me just end on this. This is exactly what we've been talking about not listening to those or voices that aren't the right voice. The title of the message, The Right Voice. God's voice. God can use people to speak into your life. And sometimes they're like this message where they come across kind of strong. But it's needed. There's times that you'll be strong with your children or your grandchildren? Because you love them, right? Amen. Because you love them. So there's times where words come across difficult, but it's out of love. But there's other times words come across that aren't from God. And I'm saying that because I don't want you to listen to people or ministers that aren't speaking the word of God, that aren't speaking positive. It's kind of like this. If I needed surgery on my finger, I believe in healing, so this is far from, you know, number one, I believe in healing. But if I needed surgery on my finger, I would talk to and associate with a doctor that did thousands of surgeries on fingers, right? And I would stay away from the person that had duct tape and a lollipop stick and never touched somebody's finger, right? See the difference? Big difference, huh? I made it that way for you to understand. Get around people that are demonstrating the presence and the power of God. Don't get around people that are just talking about God that don't have the fruit of it. If you're believing for healing, get around people that believe in healing and have been healed or operate and minister in the power of healing. Amen. And I have a list here, and it covers every single subject of the Bible. It works the same way everywhere. Amen. Sanctification, setting apart. Be around people that are set apart, that love Jesus, that care about, that are faithful to church. Be around those people. People that their love walk. Be around people that walk in love, because their words are going to be what they're living. They're demonstrating the love of God. Joy. Amen. Peace. Steadiness. Prayer. Amen. If you need prayer, get around people that actually pray. Isn't that a novel idea? But get around people that not only pray, but get results when they pray. Get results when they pray. Leadership. Get around people that know how to lead. That's why Jesus said, or Paul said to Timothy, what did he say? Don't put a novice in authority. Why? Because they do not understand leadership. They'll get puffed up and get over in the pride. Be around people that are leaders. You do not. If you had a multi-million dollar company, you wouldn't put a 10-year-old in charge of it. Right? Okay, you're still with me. Amen. Think about it. These are simple truths. If you're believing for breakthrough in your finances, listen to ministers that have breakthrough, that have fruit that's being produced in that area. Faith, same thing. I don't want to be around people that aren't speaking faith. If they're constantly speaking fear, I don't want that voice ringing in me. That's why I don't watch the news much, because it's fear. It's total fear. But yet we feel, hey, you look at your phone, it says last week you were on the phone for 3 hours a day on average. Well, what were you watching? What were you listening to for 3 hours? Your faith will be dictated by what you put in, or your lack of. Or your fear will be dictated by what you put in. I want to be around people that are Holy Ghost led, that speak Holy Ghost, that pray in the Spirit, amen, that are on fire for God. Why? They're demonstrating what the Word of God says. I want those voices speaking to me. Amen. Prophet. I'm not going to listen to a prophet that does not have fruit of their words. If they say, I'm a prophet, wonderful. Show me your prophecies and show me them coming to pass. Amen. Pastor. Amen. You want to be a part of a church that has a pastor, that doesn't just turn and run, not a hireling. I guarantee you I'm not a hireling. I did ministry many, many years with no money. Amen. It's the calling that keeps me here. It's not the money. Money is not the object at all. A pastor, a shepherd, one that'll give you the truth, the one that loves you. Amen. Be around people that love you. So if you want to hear from God, get around people that hear from God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I just want to reiterate this scripture, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I believe each and every person here and online has the ability to hear the voice of God. To hear the voice of God. Amen. But you must quiet yourself and listen to what he's saying. Every head bow, every eye closed. If you're listening online, thank you for listening. But there's more than just listening. There's activating what you hear. There's applying what you hear. You may have never heard the voice of God ever in your life or known what it was, but God is speaking to you even now. Your heart may be pounding in your chest. Don't know Jesus, never received Jesus, don't know anything, but something is speaking to you. That's the Lord. Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart. He loves you. He loves you. And he wants to be your Lord and Savior. If you're here today, you've never asked Jesus into your heart, never had the opportunity to hear about a loving God. All you've heard is that God's judgmental. God's judging you. He's coming to condemn you. He's coming to send you to hell. That's not the gospel. It's the good news. And the good news is that Jesus died on the cross for you and rose again to pay the price and the penalty for your sin, to redeem you from the curse of sin and death, and to give you a hope and a calling and a future. He loves you. He loves you. He's speaking to you right now. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, every head bow, every eyes closed, even those listening online, just bow your head and close your eyes. The Spirit of the Lord is speaking to you. He's convincing you that you need Jesus. Every head bow, every eye closed. If there's anyone here that's never asked Jesus into your heart, I just want you to raise your hand right where you are. Right where you are, never ask Jesus into your heart. Don't know for sure that you're going to heaven. The Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's the door that you need to go through. He's the door to heaven. Hallelujah. For those listening online, the Bible says, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved. It's a believing and a confessing. Believe with your heart and confess with your mouth. Just say, Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Jesus, I believe you died and rose again, and you're coming back again for me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me now. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that for the first time, guess what? You're a child of God. You're born again. And there's no weapon formed against you that can prosper. You're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Contact us. Email us. Let us know. We love you. We'll be praying for you. Get into a Bible-believing church. Amen. Get around people that are speaking unity and oneness. Hallelujah. Let me pray for you online. Father, I thank you for each and every person listening online. I'm believing that your Spirit is speaking to their hearts, giving them vision, giving them purpose, giving your plan to them, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for connecting with them, comforting them, and guiding them. From this day forward, Lord God, be with each and every person right now. Father, I thank you that there's no distance in the spirit realm. Hallelujah. Your word is working, is working, is working. Father, I thank you that they're hearing your voice for the first time. Peace. Peace that passes all understanding. In Jesus' name. Thank you for listening. We love you. Be blessed. For each and every person here, you heard that prayer. You may have never heard God's voice before, but there's something pounding in your chest. It's your spirit. It's your conscience. And that's the Lord ministering to you. He's gentle. He's loving. He's peaceful. You may not understand what's happening, but it's a spiritual thing that's taking place. He loves you, and he wants freedom. He desires for you to be free. He doesn't want you bound another day in your life. He doesn't want your thoughts to be negative another day in your life. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Don't let the thoughts, don't let the things of this world, don't let your past dictate your future. You have a future and a hope. And God's going to speak to you every day. He's going to share his heart with you. He's going to love on you. Your family may have just disowned you. May have kicked you to the curb. May have told you how bad you are. You'll never amount to anything. That's not God. That's the wrong voice. God's voice is loving. The goodness of God leadeth to repentance. He came to save you, to deliver you, and to set you free. Hallelujah. I break the power of the spirit of fear right now in Jesus' name. I break the power of the spirit of fear in Jesus' name. Because the enemy's trying, I'm telling you, the enemy, he's a liar and a thief. He's saying, you can't have it. You're not good enough to have what he's talking about. Hell no, you're good enough. God created you to hear his voice, to walk in his ways, to thrive and to prosper all the days of your life. John said in 3 John, that thou may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Ha! Prosperous soul. Your mind, your will, and your emotions settled in Jesus' name. Receive from the Lord right now. If the Lord's touching you right now, I want you to come forward. I want you to just come forward and line up here. I want to pray with you. I want to encourage you. I want to bless you. I want to bless you. God is blessing people today. That's what he does. And it's not just today, it's every day. It's every day. God blesses you. God loves you.